We ask is that that you are a member of, you're a member of our family through the blood of Jesus Christ, that you believe of, that he died and rose again for your sins. So feel free to partake with us today if you're in that situation. What does God desire? That's kind of what's been bouncing around in my head the last couple of weeks. And I just want to share a few things that we can reflect on for communion of what does God require of me personally? I mean, you guys can come in on this if you want to, but this was mainly a personal deal for me this last couple of weeks. There's a scripture in Samuel that started out with kind of hit me. It's an old one. It says that, you know, God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. And a lot of times we kind of flippantly say that and what it really means. But in context, in 1 Samuel 15 there, it's when Saul was told by Samuel to go out and take over a city and to totally destroy it, to take all the Amalekites and destroy them and leave nothing. Well, Saul went out and he was disobedient. He wasn't obedient, and he saw a lot of fat cattle, and he saw some sheep, and he saw some other, and he saw the king, and he brought those back, and he wasn't supposed to do that. He was disobedient, and Samuel called him on it, and he kind of tried to make up excuses that it was he was going to sacrifice them in the temple to God, but God didn't want that. God told him to destroy them. So anyhow, Samuel had to say to him, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better to sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. A pretty heavy thing to say to him. And in the Old Testament, sacrifices, God made them up and established them, but they were to cover up sins. And that's what they were. We'll see later, of course, that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, and we don't have to have sacrifices anymore. But you know, I think we do have sacrifices. And that's what I kind of ask myself, what are some of the sacrifices I have rather than being obedient? Because sometimes it's easier to give a sacrifice than to do what you're really supposed to do. You know, like, it's easier to go to church. I can go to church every Sunday. Pretty good, huh? Is that obedience or is that sacrifice? It's up to your heart. What's going on? And there's a lot of things, right? You play head games with God all the time as far as, you know, I won't do this, God, if you'll do that. And those are just kind of phony fake sacrifices. But there's only one. I think John 3:16 is our ultimate sacrifice. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus had a similar encounter to this over in Matthew. It was Matthew 9. It's where, I can't talk and flip at the same time. It's where he had called Matthew as one of his disciples, and Matthew was a tax collector, and he was they weren't thought of too highly, and Jesus was invited into his house for dinner, and so you pick up in verse 10, and it says, then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and the sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means." He's quoting Hosea here. He says, they knew it, but he says, "Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." So Jesus called them on. They were good at sacrifices. They could give sacrifices all the time. But did they have compassion for those sinners? Did they love them? No, they were jealous because they were eating with Jesus. And the scripture that he referred to is Hosea 6:6. And I like this one just because of the wording. It says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Loyalty. Loyalty instead of obedience, but loyalty to sacrifice. And I looked up the definition of loyalty, and it's unswerving in alliance. It's faithful to a person to whom faithfulness is due. That's a good one. Are we faithful to the person, Jesus Christ, that we are due, that he is due? And then David gives us a good example of this over in Psalms 51. In Psalms 51, this is one of my favorite psalms. It's where Nathan confronts David when he had sinned with Bathsheba, had her husband killed, and he confronted David. And throughout that Psalms, we see the steps of true repentance. David came to a heart of true 100% repentance. He knew he sinned against God. He knew what he did. And he knew that he would take any of the consequences that God was going to lay out, because he was deserving of death. The consequences for sin are death. But then when he's finishing up down there, he cries out to the Lord, or just speaks to him, I guess. He says, "Oh Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praises. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would have given it." So David was smart enough to know that if you just throw out some old sacrifices there, it's not going to do anything. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. David's heart was truly broken of what he did. And God's calling us to come to that place of being brokenhearted, so we can be loyal to him, so we can be obedient to him, and stop doing the things that I do, is giving him all these little sacrifice things that went away anyhow. So God wants our obedience and our loyalty. And then I was drawn to what are some of the things that God wants us to do? He says, "Keep my commandments." And so I was drawn to Exodus 20. Haven't been there in a while. Exodus 20, that's the Ten Commandments. I want to read what it says afterward too. "Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any idols, or any likeness of what is in the heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the waters underneath the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but show loving kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord is not will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all work, all your work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male or your female servants or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which your Lord has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or your male or his male servants or his female servants or his ox or his donkey or anything that that belongs to your neighbor. Now this is where it really started striking me and setting home. It says, all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashing and the sounds of trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw this, they trembled and stood at a distance. I guess so. But then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself. Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, or we will die. They found out firsthand what Romans 6:23 said. For the wages of sin is death. And we all face that. The wages of sin is death. They just had the first half. They just had the first half. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's where the whole thing shifts and changes. That's why we're taking communion today. That's why we're celebrating the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Because we can be loyal to our Lord and Savior. We can be obedient because of the blood of Jesus, not because of the sacrifices we do and the things that we do, but because of one fact, the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to ring true, or I need to ring true in my heart, and quit trying to strive and accept what he has for me. Father, I just thank you that you've given us the total package, Lord. You've given us the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we thank you that we can't get to you any other way but through your Son, Jesus Christ. And what a glorious way to get to you. And Lord, I just want that to become a reality more and more in my life. That my life is able to experience and see that and realize that and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that you are ever changing me and ever changing each one of us into your image. And I just praise you and I thank you for that. And out of honor and respect, Lord, we take today the communion of the bread and the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you what it's done for us. And I just praise you for that. Amen.